All the people said, "Give us a king! Give us a king! Give us a king! Why do you want a king? You got judges. Give us a king. We want a king. The other nations have kings. We're the children of Israel. We don't have kings. All we've got are prophets, judges. We've got judges." Yes, you've got your judges. You've had judges. You've had Samson was a judge over the nation. Deborah was a judge over the nation. Barak was a judge over the nation. He was one of your judges too. You've had a lot of judges. You've had a lot of judges. But we want a king. So God said, "I'm so sick and tired of them yelling to this, telling me all these things. Their rebellion is up to my nostrils. I'll give you a king. His name will be Saul." And so Saul became the first king of Israel. He was followed by David, and he was followed by Solomon. Each reigned for 40 years. "Give us the king." And so God gave the king. But this king was not a very good king. And when David came on the stage, he decided he would kill his successor. Saul wanted to kill David. And our subject this morning is dodging the devil's darts. You dodging the devil's darts. We're going to see how David dodged the devil's darts through the person of Saul. 21 times King Saul tried to kill David. 21 times. We're going to look at about 5 of those times. And if you have your Bibles, you would like to turn to the first of these times. It's in 1 Samuel 18, 6 through 11. 1 Samuel chapter 18, 6 through 11. Samuel had anointed King Saul. David has been anointed king. And I want you to note that David was anointed king around 15 years before he became the king. So for 15 years, this young man, David, who had everything this man had. And let me just, I could not remember it all, so I wrote it down. He was short, however, but he was ruddy. He had a beautiful countenance. He was handsome. He had an immense physical strength. He had personal attractiveness. He was a man of war. He had good speech. He was very brave. He was very musical. And he was very religious. For 16 years, about, he had to wait around for the time to be what he was supposed to be. God says, "You're going to be the king." To be all he was to be, he had to go through a lot of preparation and wait. And he had to be a servant, as if it were, to the king, although he had been already anointed as the king. Well, you recall the story when David slews the giant Goliath. People start singing these great songs. They said, as they were singing down the street, "Well, Saul has killed his thousands, but King David has killed tens of thousands." And this made this guy jealous. He started putting into his spiritual coat and spiritual robe all kind of yellow colors and red colors. And he got green colors and he got black colors as well. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we find in verse 6, David was returning after killing Goliath. As the soldiers were coming back home, women came out and they started singing the song that I just told you. The very next day, verse 10, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10, the very next day, an evil spirit from God suddenly took control of Saul, and he raved in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did every day. Saul was holding a spear. Why did he have a spear there? I'll tell you why he was holding a spear. He was waiting for the opportunity of his life. Saul was holding a spear I'll pin him to the wall. I'll pin him to the wall, he said to himself. And then he threw the spear at him. And David, while he was playing on his harp, dodged the spear. But it said that was the very first attempt. The second attempt on his life is in chapter 18, verse 11. What does it say? Again he did it. I don't know what went on in that house, but I do know this, that the same thing is going on today in your house where you live, not the physical house, but this house where you live. There is Satan throwing the fiery dart. Satan is throwing the javelin at you. Now, in this house of King Saul, it says here, he had the spear, and he threw it at David. David missed it. He was missed. Then it says he threw it a second time. Did he have another spear? Or did he run over there and pull it out of the wall? I don't know. But it does say here, the second time he tried to pin David to the wall. He tried to take his life. Today, Satan is throwing these fiery darts at you. He is trying to pin you to the wall. Children, young people, adults, he's trying to pull you to the wall. Saul did this to David because it says here, an evil spirit took control of him. God, in other words, allowed this evil spirit to come in and take control of him, which fostered jealousy, which fostered insanity. But something interesting here, as a result of this, David starts running away. He withdraws himself from the fellowship of King Saul, and some may say, this isn't good. He shouldn't have done that. Like, he was hired to be the musician. Why did he run away? I'll tell you why it was okay. There was an Oriental custom that if a master took a spear and threw it at the servant, and it missed the servant then was completely cut off from the house. The servant was free. The servant could go out and do what he wanted to do. So it was not an act of rebellion on the part of David's part when David flees away. It would not be considered rebellion because that was the name of the game. We are never exempt from the dart. Satan has got his darts that he's going to throw at you, these javelins, these spears, because it is his job to have his emissaries, who have his angels, to have his demons, pin you against the wall, people. He's trying to pin you against the wall. And he will do this. And notice where David was. David was at work when it happened. Satan is going to try to do this where you are working, pin you to the wall. Notice this. David was attempting to be helpful. He was a good Samaritan. And yet, being a good Samaritan, trying to help ease the mental disposition of this king, he had this hurled at him. So Satan will hurl his spears at you when you're at work, when you're even attempting to be helpful. He wants to take your life. And just 2 days ago, a coroner told me that he was referring to an incident over on the bay, Monterey Bay, where an 11-year-old boy had gotten in danger in the water, and this person near the water ran out after the boy, and this guy, who was the Good Samaritan, was not in good shape due to making the most of the weekend with the things that people do, and went out to save the boy and the girl. In the meantime, the boy was saved, but the girl drowned, and he was drowned being the Good Samaritan. He was drowned being the Good Samaritan, but there were reasons why he was drowned. I'm saying that if you are trying to be a Good Samaritan, you can still be attacked by the evil one, as was in this case, David. Secondly, thirdly, David was doing what he enjoyed doing. He loved music. He loved music. And so he was playing. So while you're doing what you enjoy doing, Satan can throw his spear at you. We're never exempt from the darts. The sixth attempt on his life is in the next chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 chapter 19, verse 8, 9, and 10. The war with the Philistines broke out again, and David attacked them and defeated them so thoroughly that they fled. Notice this. Again, one night, an evil spirit from the Lord took control of Saul. He was sitting in his house and his spear in his hand. And David was there playing his harp. And Saul tried to pin David to the wall with his spear, but David dodged, and the spear struck in the wall. David ran away and escaped. Not in rebellion, but he ran away and escaped. So three times, with a javelin, with a spear, King Saul tried to put away David. And notice, if you will, in your mind, it always happened after that evil spirit came and took control of the king. So the lesson from this is we're never exempt from the darts. Three attempts by the javelin, by King Saul, to kill the David who was going to be the king. Now, we'll back up. The third attempt on his life in dodging what we're going to call the dart, is what we are experiencing today, is in chapter 18, if you go back, verse 20 and following. This is through Michal. And the word Michal means brook. 1 Samuel 18, verse 20. Saul's daughter Michal fell in love with David. And when Saul heard this, he said to himself, as he was very pleased, I will give my daughter to Saul, to David, and I will use her as a snare. I will use her as a trap to get him. Today, God says, through his word, we must be very careful in our home, because Satan can use our spouse to entrap us. The lesson here is there are unbelieving spouses used as a tremendously striking weapon to the believing spouse. And second lesson is simply this, that the believing spouse, at a bad time, at a weak time, at a frustrated time, having a bad daytime, can be used to hurl a spear, a javelin, at the believing spouse. And it comes from a believing spouse as well. So through Michal, it says here, Saul tried to kill David. This was the third attempt. In chronological order, the next fourth attempt is in the same verse, through the army. In 1 Samuel 18, 25, it says here, well, back up in the verse 20, maybe he'll be killed by the Philistines. So what he did, he asked David to go out, I'll put you as my son-in-law in charge of 1,000 men, you go out and win a battle, thinking that the Philistines would certainly kill him. But it didn't work this way at all. The point here is that Satan is going to attack us today. We're going to have to dodge his darts that come to us through an army, a very spiritual army that has a network that's unbelievable. The network that controls the satanic forces over this city, over your life, is unbelievable. It would put NASA to shame. NORAD to shame. It would, whatever comes to your mind, is sophisticated electronic equipment in putting together the forces of this earth, is nothing to compare to the network of the army that has been employed to pin you against the wall. David was attacked by Saul through an army. This was the fourth time. Powerful is this army, and never forget that. The last two times we're going to look at will be the 20th attempt and the 21st attempt, and 1 Samuel chapter 24 shows these things. The 20th attempt to kill David, is in 1 Samuel chapter 24. Saul came back from fighting the Philistines. A lot of time has gone by now. And remember that David is still marching time to become the king. He's waiting 15 years to be the king from the time he was anointed. When Saul comes back, he was told that David was in the wilderness. I want you to note that he was in the wilderness when the attack occurred. Saul took 3,000 of his best soldiers in Israel and went looking for David. The story goes on saying that while he was out looking for David, he got tired. He came to a cave. He went in to relieve himself in the cave. Now, I take it that the king went into the cave all by himself to have some privacy. He went to the bathroom privately in the cave. His commander-in-chief set the gate of the cave out over 3,000 men. He did not believe that there was anybody in the cave. But in the back of the cave was his enemy, the man he was going after, the king-to-be David. David had some men with him in the cave. Here was the king. The king went to sleep for a while. And so David goes up to him, and, you know, he's got counsel telling him he should kill the man right now. The man's been trying to kill you. And he had a chance. Do what you want to do, it says here in verse 4. But what he did, he crept over to Saul without Saul knowing it, and then he cut off a piece of his robe. And in verse 5, the words are very important. It says, David's conscience began to hurt him. Now, all he did, people, was take his sharp knife and just cut off the end of the king's robe. That's all he did. He did no harm to the king, but his heart began to smote him. His heart began to smote him because he had done something wrong to the king. The word in verse 6 is, his conscience began to hurt him, and he said to his men, "May the Lord keep me from doing any harm to my master, whom the Lord chose as king. I must not harm him in the least, because he is the king chosen by the Lord." So David convinced his men that they should not attack Saul. So David and his men go back into the recesses of the cave. Saul gets up, leaves the cave and starts away. And then David goes after him, and he called to him, "Your Majesty! Your Majesty!" And Saul says, "Well, it's coming from behind me." And Saul turns and looks back into the cave. He turns around, and there is David, who bows down to the ground in respect. And he says, "King, why do you listen to people who say I'm trying to harm you? You can see for yourself that just now in the cave, the Lord put you in my power. Some of the men told me to kill you, but I felt sorry for you and said that I wouldn't harm you in the least, because you're the one whom the Lord chose to be the king. Look, my father," his son-in-law, "look, my father, look at the piece of your robe I'm holding. I could have killed you, but instead, I only cut this off. This should convince you that I've got no thought of rebelling against you or doing or harming you. You're hurting me, even though I've not done any wrong. May the Lord judge which one of us is wrong. May he punish you for your action against me, for I will not harm you in the least." When David had finished speaking, Saul said, "Is that really David, my son?" And he started crying. Boy, it wasn't long-lived, however, but he did start crying, and he said to David, "You are right, and I'm wrong. Convicted of his sins, confesses his sins. What I have done to you is wrong. Today you've shown how good you are to me because you did not kill me, even though the Lord put you in a place where you could have and gave you the power to do so. How often does a man catch his enemy and then let him go away unharmed? The Lord bless you for what you've done to me today. Now I'm sure that you will be king and that your kingdom will continue under your rule." But then he goes on to say, "But promise me this one thing in the Lord's name, that you will spare my descendants so that my name and my family's name will not be completely forgotten." And David says, okay, king, I promise you I will." Then Saul went back home. David and his men went back to their hiding place. Well, I say that he wept only for a moment, because in the next chapter, the 21st attempt on his life happens in chapter 26, verse 2. And I want you to notice where it happened again. It happened in the wilderness, which we'll get to in a moment, sometimes where we are. In the wilderness again, chapter 26, 1 Samuel, verse 1, Saul is told that David is hiding. You can go to him, but he's in the wilderness. And the story here is just a little different, because when the king Saul gets there with all of his men, David is told about this. And so David said, "I tell you what we'll do. We are going to surprise him. We are going to really get him. We are the hunted, and we're going to go to him." It doesn't work that way. The aggressive army goes to the enemy. The enemy doesn't go the other way. But here David said, "Let's do that. While they're off guard, we will go to them." This is exactly what happens. And when he gets to the king's tent, as was the custom, and even today sometimes, or in the days when they used spears, they would put a spear in the very front of the tent of the commander-in-chief. And here we find that Saul had his spear there. David takes a man with him. They go there, and I'm looking at verse 7. At nighttime, they found Saul sleeping in the center of the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. God's put the enemy in your power tonight, David was told. But David said, no, I'm not going to take his spear and pin him to the ground. I could do that with one blow. I wouldn't even have to do it with two blows. But no, David said, you must not harm him. The Lord will certainly punish whoever harms his chosen king. I want to read the rest of this chapter to you. By the living Lord, David continued, I know that the Lord himself will kill Saul, either when his time comes to die a natural death or if his time comes in battle. The Lord forbid that I should try to harm the one whom the Lord has made king. Let's take his spear, let's take his water jug, and let's go. So David took the spear, the water jug that was beside Saul's head, and they left. No one saw it. They didn't know what happened. They didn't even wake up. Why? Because God had put a heavy, heavy sleep upon the king and his men. God did this. In verse 13, David crossed over to the other side of the valley, to the top of the hill, a safe distance away, and he shouted to Saul's troops, and he says, can you hear me? And they said, who's shouting and waking up the king? Abner asked, and David answered, Abner, aren't you the greatest man in Israel? Aren't you the commander-in-chief of the king Saul's armies? Why aren't you protecting your master? Just now, someone entered the camp to kill your master. You failed in your duty. I swear by the living Lord that all of you deserve to die because you've not protected your master whom the Lord made king. Look, where is the king's spear? And he held it up. Where is the king's water jug? And he held it up. Saul recognizes David's voice, and he said, David, is that you? And the answer was, yes, your majesty. David, is that you? David says, you know, why are you chasing me? Why are you chasing me like a dog chases a flea, or like people chase a partridge? Would the king concern himself with me like a dog with one little flea, it says here? Why have you done this? You see, a few chapters back, King Saul said, I will not hurt you any longer. But in the course of two chapters, he reverted back to his old nature, and so he did want to hurt, and so for the 21st attempt on David's life, he made. In verse 25, it says here that he stopped chasing after David. And David commits his care to the Lord. He couldn't understand why once he says, I'll not chase you anymore, and now I am chasing you. And here in verse 25, Saul stops following David to kill him, never to see him again. Saul was soon to fall by the hands of his enemies and meet his God, whom he had rejected and whom he had sinned against for so many years. Interestingly to note, in chapter 27, however, in verse 1, after all these victories upon David, it says here, one of these days Saul will kill me. The best thing for me to do is to escape. And what he did here, he had a hasty conclusion of unbelief. David now, unbelief. God had delivered him, but now this lack of faith on his part brought him to act for the very first time being contrary to the will of God and God's will for him. Okay, what's the lesson for us? We're going to dodge these darts. We must dodge these darts even when we are in the wilderness. On a vacation, Satan is going to come against you with his darts, and also on spiritual retreats in the wilderness, Satan will come against you with his darts. He is after you. And he hates me to tell you this, that he will get you by the fiery darts, by the javelin. He can try to get you through your spouse. He can get you through his army, the forces of evil, and he can get you in the wilderness. And so the way that we can dodge the darts is simply spelled out very clearly in the Word of God, and it is doing this. Swift are these javelins thrown. Very swift are these javelins thrown. You must do four things. Number one, you got to keep your armor on. Number two, you must keep on your spiritual Nikes or Vans or whatever. You've got to be able to sprint. You've got to be able to dodge the dart when it comes. The scripture says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Four, you must keep your mind clear and clean because it is dulled by alcohol and beer and wine and drugs. And keep your eyes open, constantly scanning, scanning, scanning. And so the scripture says in conclusion, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, you are to put on the whole armor of God, because you then will be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil. Wiles means methods. Wiles means his different plans, schemes, used to deceive, ensnare, and entrap. And then in verse 16, it says, carry with you the shield, the faith, your faith is a shield. For with it you will be able to put out all the darts of the evil one, or the arrows that have been shot. A dart, a missile that's thrown, a javelin, a spear, or a stone from a sling. Put up the shield. Satan is attacking us, and it is time for we who are the children of God to dodge his darts and to be aware of his schemes and his traps, because he's after us. He's after us. He's after us. 21 times King Saul tried to kill David during those years of preparation that David was going to be the king. And more than 21 times Satan has tried to kill me and tried to kill every one of you. He's doing a good job sometimes, but we stand up as you will right now. Would you just stand up? And we'll say, Satan, I'm taking a stand against you right now. I'm taking a stand against you right now. I am not fooled by your evil devices. I know, because I've been told this morning that you're going to attack me. You will attack me where I work. You will throw darts at me where I play. You will attack me at school. You will attack me at home. You will attack me on vacation. You will attack me because I know that it's your business, Satan, to attack me. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to see it coming, and I'm going to dodge it. And you can too. Come on, dip me. It may happen. That may happen. One of these days, it's going to come. You're going to stay there without your own strength.